Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right, let's get started, ladies. And on our last program, we were in the middle of Borer, about sorting and selecting. And I wanted to make sure that we did open the floor for questions. If any questions or issues that came up, Borer, again, is a very difficult malacha, really, to get our heads around and also to apply, because it is so pervasive. So are there any questions, issues? Yeah.
What pervasive means?
Pervasive means all-encompassing. It really applies to a lot of different aspects of life.
So I was thinking that it's a pervert or something like that. Sounds like pervert.
So this Shabbos I was picking blueberries out of like a container for Liana. As I was doing it, I would come across one that wasn't one that I would want to give her.
Right.
It was either, you know, I couldn't see it necessarily or whatever to just pick the ones I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I was I'd pick it up and it was mushy. So I ended up just eating it myself so that it was not going to her, but whatever.
That's a great question.
But I didn't know what I was allowed to do.
Yes, that's not a problem at all. Meaning you reach in and you accidentally get something that turns out to be, in terms of the Gemara, psolas, which is not what you want, either because it's just not good, it's objectively, you know, ichi, or spoiled, or whatever, or it's really, the halacha is not objective, it's very subjective. I don't want this thing now, that already becomes, you know, refuse, already becomes something that I don't want for the purposes of borer. So as long as you're not sorting and selecting on purpose, that's fine.
Okay.
If you just stick your hand in this case, little guys, or happens to be, you know, reach in and get an apple, and the backside of the apple is rotten,
okay,
that is not a problem.
Okay.
That's a great, great question, because it does illustrate that
and
very point.
And you throw it away?
Can you just throw it away?
Okay.
Yep.
Because there's no kosher, right?
Because, no, in that case, I mean, the worm certainly you have to throw it out because it's not kosher. But with regards to these laws of sorting and selecting, if you can't pick out the bad ones, we discussed last week. You can't discard, you know, go through and get all the bad blueberries or blackberries or whatever. That would be borer. But to simply reach in because you can't see or it's just, you know, that's fine. That's totally fine. Yep. Okay, other evening ladies, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Other, no, you don't have to force yourself. Especially some of them start growing already. It's not,
no,
not cool.
Nothing like that.
I'm just going to ask this question because it came to my mind.
Shoot.
Shabbos. After you eat your cholent and then the remnants are in the bottom, are you allowed to just turn on the cold water and put water in there just so that after Shabbos it's not.
Good question. Okay, so just to be clear, this isn't a borer question. You're just asking
right.
A general. Really, it's a hachana question, preparing for after Shabbos.
Okay.
So the short answer is, it depends. If your goal in doing that is to make it easier to clean Motzi Shabbos Saturday night, then the answer would be no. If your goal in doing that is the water contains the smell to a certain extent, that kind of thing, if there's some kind of immediate purpose, then that's perfectly fine. And we'll go into this more in detail some point. But anything
standard operating procedure, any time I would cook something like that, I would put water in to keep it.
So, well,
like if you're loading the dishwasher.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Standard operating procedure, like I think we touched on this a while ago, but clearing the table after Shalosh Shodis.
Right, like if you would
You normally do that. That's just the way you run your home. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Here, on the other hand, because there's a clear benefit for right now. The benefit for right now is I don't like my table being a mess, which many of us, you know, don't want to leave it that way. That's not preparatory in any way. That's for right now. Whereas here, if it's standard operating procedure because it's just not wise to leave a pot full of stuff for 3 or 4 hours and let it dry out, and then you got to, that on the other hand would be forbidden because it's a standard operating procedure, but it's designed to make life easier later. So that in this case would be prohibited. I was going to say, the liners would be way up. I always wonder about what's leaching out of those plastic bags, but it makes it so much easier. It's amazing.
If you're done with the crock pot of cholent and the liner is in there, can you take out the liner and throw it out?
Certainly. I mean, again, it's hard to see a preparatory purpose. You're doing it because it either looks gross or smells gross.
Mm-hmm.
So the garbage can is a much better place for that. So that's perfectly fine. Yeah. And again, if you're adding the water because it helps contain the smell, that's also fine. It really boils down to is there an immediate use, immediate purpose rather, or is it specifically to make life easier later? And, let's face it, we live a life of convenience. We don't necessarily think these things through. We just, standard operating procedure, that's what we do. But on Shabbos, you do have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Other questions? Borer or otherwise? Why is the sky blue? Okay. So let's continue then with Borer. And we don't have that much on the sheets. As you notice, these are kind of a bridge. So I do want to add a little bit as we go with some examples from the picture book and maybe from Rabbi Rieti. Because, examples obviously do bring home the point. So we talked about the three basic rules. The three basic rules, which are really listed there on page 2 of this section, Borer, page 2, which is Borer, the first Roman numeral, Biyad, the first Roman numeral, which is using your hand. We talked about that for sure, excludes any utensils, any implements, any tools that are designed specifically to separate things out, a serrated spoon, a colander, peelers, all those types of things are definitely out on Shabbos, and Muksa as well. Number 2 is Ochel Mitoch Psoletz, which means You take what you want and leave behind what you don't want, even if it's easier the other way. We don't really care what's easier, what's more convenient, what's more, one might think it's so much easier to do it the other way. That's what Shabbos would require me to do. The answer is no. On Shabbos specifically, you do what you do want as opposed to what you don't. And then the last one we have not really touched on, and that is miyad, for immediate use.
Miyad?
Miyad. Which we said was for immediate prompt use. The picture perkin has it. It's very cute. How they distilled all that down into one little picture.
Can you just briefly give us guidelines on Yentif when you can cook? Do any of these still apply?
Great question. Let me write that down. Let's hold it till we get to the end of that. So that's an excellent question. Okay, if I don't touch on it, please, stop me. Okay, so we were in the middle of this page, if I'm not mistaken. We talked about taking what you do and leaving behind what you don't. We gave some examples like mixed nuts, and you want the cashews, you leave behind everything else. We talked about the tomato in the salad. You're allowed to take out the tomato, even though you really don't want it. And your goal, in your mind, really is to get rid of it, which would be borer. You're taking out what you don't want, but you're immediately giving it to someone who does want it. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. As long as it's the same, it can't be put in the bowl. Maybe someone will take it later. That's no good. But, like we said before, you announce at the table, who wants my tomatoes? Someone says yes, and you give them, that's perfectly fine. That's not a problem at all, because that, the halacha views, is an act of taking what the other person wants.
Okay. If someone made a salad and they put, I'm one of those people that don't like peppers. Green. I mean, they're good to cook with, but I'm just wrong.
Not fresh.
So if I just take it and put it in there and just eat my salad and leave.
That's fine.
That's okay.
Yep.
I'll just leave it. I don't know if there's anybody who'll eat it or
right.
Whatever. But
totally fine. Because then you're taking what you want and leaving behind. That's totally fine.
Do we have another one from last week? Another
question. We should. I should bring a box. Oh, right here. This, I think, goes through. Yeah, it goes through number 10. Everyone else has? Okay. Okay, so that's the first point. We talked briefly about siluk, which is removing to gain access. Removing, let's say, oranges on top of apples. You're allowed to do that. That's not considered sorting and selecting. You're simply moving a barrier to get to what's beneath it. And we talked also about that's the reason you're allowed to peel things. You can peel a banana, you can peel apples, oranges, anything you want, really, as long as your intention is to get to what's inside. And we don't care if it's a banana, which the peel is basically inedible, or an apple, which the peel is totally edible. It's irrelevant. If you're removing the peel if you're removing anything, edible or otherwise, to get to the thing beneath it, could be clothing, could be whatever, that's perfectly fine.
But the tool you use to do it is a problem.
You could not use anything, right? Right, like a peeler, for example. So there we made the distinction under that point between a knife, and again, these are certainly understandably gray. A knife one could use to peel an apple, but a peeler one would not. We do view those differently in halacha.
So you cannot use shredder or any kind of for the like cabbage, you know, the one that like beat white. You have to do it by hand.
A shredder, no. I mean, that would be a problem really in the next malacha. That would be a tool. I mean, there you're not really sorting or selecting, are you? You're just taking the cabbage and making a coleslaw or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a potential problem of tochein, which is the next malacha. We'll get there. Here we're talking specifically about two different things and somehow separating them, which you're not doing in that case. But it would be forbidden for a different reason. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, I mean, prohibited is prohibited, but... Okay, so siluk again could apply to clothes. I mean, if there's something that's edible, I wanted to bring home this point. The Gemara's, you know, verbiage is talking about food. That's the main, but it really has nothing to do with that. It has to do really with if something's in the way of something else, and you remove it simply to get there. You remove these shirts to get to those shirts. That's fine. That's totally fine. You're not sorting and selecting. The goal of Bora really is ultimately to make this mixture more of what you want. By getting rid of what you don't, or by sorting them out, or whatever. So if you're removing something strictly because it's in the way, you may end up with a better result, but that's not called burr. Burr is if your intention is, I want this to be more usable, more whatever. If something is a barrier, it's in the way, then it is permissible to remove it from being in your way.
So if the dryer happened to be done 2 minutes before Shabbos, and you rushed the clothes out into a laundry basket but didn't have time to fold it, you could, and you knew one of the shirts was in there that you wanted, you could move the other stuff and grab that shirt as long as you're not folding and putting what?
Okay. Yep, I'll get the folding. Certain things you can't fold, a lot of things you can't fold. Depends again on the reason and all that. But the short answer to your question here is you can move the shirts at the bottom, you can move everything off to get that shirt.
Okay.
Yes. To start sorting out this kid's clothes and that kid's clothes, the answer is no. That's bar. Okay. Again, this is why bar is so hard. Okay. So the question you ask yourself, is this siluk or is this bar? Is it in the way? Is it an impediment to my getting to what I need? So that typically, you know, if you make a bowl of, that's a bad example, maybe you have peanuts and chocolate chips, whatever, and they're all jumbled up together. You can't call it siluk. You know, they're mixed together. If you start separating them out, that's borer. But if the peanuts are all lying on top of the chocolate chips and you want to get the chocolate chips, yes, then you move the peanuts away and you get the chocolate chips. So if it's in the way, it's physically in the way, am I getting to something? That's siluk and that's permissible.
Well, if you have, like, in a drawer, a lot of, like, three or four black shirts, sweaters, little, and you pull one out, and that's not the one you want to wear because that one's too thin or too thick or whatever.
Right.
Okay, are you allowed to fold it back, put it back in, and get the other one out?
Yep. Folding is a separate issue. If there's creases, it's an issue. But generally speaking, yes, you can certainly put it back where it belongs because right now you don't want it to get messed up and wrinkled or whatever. And that's very similar to the dairy issue we had before. As long as you're not sorting, you just happen to grab the wrong one, that's perfectly fine. Yep. Yeah, it's important to, again, this may be an area where if you've heard of or before, you're much stricter than you need to be. Because there's certain leniencies here, which if one understands how the mechanics of it, allows you to do stuff that, otherwise may be thought of as prohibited. Okay, now, I don't believe we touched on the next point, which is hold and pull. No. Okay. So, this has to do, ladies, with, let me just illustrate first. You've got grapes, and you've got the grapevine. So the grapes are clearly what you want. The vine is clearly something you do not want. So the halacha says you're certainly allowed to hold the grape, and hold the vine, and pull, you've got to be careful, but pull the grape away from the vine, because then the action that you're doing is you're taking the food from the discard. You're taking the good from the bad. That's perfectly fine. Whereas to hold the grape and take the vine and throw it away, On the other hand, that actually would be prohibited.
But this is assuming it's already cut off of
yes.
the living.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. If it's still attached from the tree, taking the grape off would not be, no way, no day. That's a violation of Kotzer, which we discussed before, Malacha number 3. But, no, assuming it's in the valley from, you know, public scrogue or whatever, then the only issue you've got now is this borer issue. You certainly can remove the grapes. You may not remove the vine. So, again, this is a little tricky, but there's no reason in the world not to use both hands and simply be sure that you remove the
grape.
Exactly. And all similar, you know, obviously all similar situations would be exactly the same. So no, anything that's still connected, would you not allowed to touch, not allowed to remove, that's a separate prohibition. But if that's already been done, yeah. It's already in the bag, it's already detached.
Or like a cherry, I guess you would pull
right.
a cherry from the
right.
stem. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. You remove the cherry from the stem. All similar cases are permissible as long as what you're pulling is the food. So, you know, this is, again, you got to be careful because it's so easy to, you know, dumb your hands and who thinks about which hand is moving, you know, we just get the job done.
Okay.
But in this case, you really do have to be careful. The vine stays here and the grape, you know, maybe just, you know, you can use one hand maybe and just, whatever it is, but that is perfectly okay. Okay, the next point is ochel mitoch ochel. The Hebrew line there, which is food from food. Food from food. Which again... Mm-hmm. I mean food from food. Which again, we don't mean food specifically. We mean what you want now. From what you want now. Or, there's two different things here. Or, psoles mitoch psoles, which means the refuse from the refuse. What you don't want from what you don't want. Again, either what you want from what you do want, they're both positive, so to speak, or what you don't want from what you don't want, they're both negative. So this brings up a whole different way around these halachas, because again, this whole rule, the second rule of Borer says you have to take the what you do want from what you don't. If you have a situation where you can separate good from good or bad from bad, you no longer have Borer. Because again, borer is defined by a mixture of types and you're sorting and selecting that mixture. But if you are separating good from good, you're good to go. So the most famous example probably is a piece of meat. You've got a steak and you've got fat on the side of that steak and you're not interested in the fat. So there's several ways of getting around that, but one of them is this. You can cut just inside the meat so that now you're separating meat from meat. You know, you lose a little thin strip of meat, but that would be perfectly fine. You cut, along the line of the meat itself, and then your steak is lean, and that's exactly the way you want it, and you can move the rest of it away. That's perfectly fine because you've cut between what you want and what you don't want. You're willing to give up a little of the meat. Or the opposite case, if you're willing, you know, you're willing or interested in having a little bit of fat stay with the meat, you can cut some of the fat off and leave some of the fat behind. So now you're cutting fat from fat, that also is perfectly, we call that, some level that's called psoles mitoch psoles. That's what you don't want from what you don't want. Okay, you're leaving a little behind, you're adding, adds flavor, or you don't mind, whatever it is, but that's also fine. That's also fine, because you're not separating, now again, peanuts and chocolate chips are two different types, and you're separating those two, that's borer. But here, you're separating it from itself. That's not borer. Even though your ultimate intention is to have less fat. You know, you're trying to get rid of something. That's not... So that would be an example of...
So you shouldn't totally cut the fat off.
Right. If you do cut that right down the line, then you... Well, the other way around it, again, you got to be careful, is the one we mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
You could, and here's a picture of the chicken doing that, you could cut right down, now ignoring this line over here, but going back to the previous hole and pull, you could cut right down between the meat and the fat and then take the meat, leaving behind the fat. Once the fat's by itself on your plate, you can certainly discard it, you can move it to the side, whatever it is. So you could do the surgery again, you know, straight down the middle, move the meat away, take the meat yourself, so to speak, and then just get rid of whatever's left. Once it's not mixed, once you've unmixed it, you can, we'll talk about that, yeah, next. Once it's unmixed, you can get rid of it. So there's kind of three options how you can do this. You can cut down the meat and then move it away. That's meat from meat. You can cut in the middle of the fat. It's fat from fat. Or you can cut down the middle. You just got to be careful to take the meat and not to remove what we would normally do in a plate of food. We would remove the meat, remove the what we don't want. Questions on that?
So in whole and pull a Band-Aid?
Pulling Band-Aid like off of a cut or off of your skin?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. We talk about this under Topher. The issue there, really, the main issue, I guess there's two issues. The main issue really is ripping out hair. Believe it or not, that's the main issue in that case. As gozes, when we don't take haircuts, those types of things on Shabbos. So here, there's reasons to allow it, but in a perfect world, you can use soap or something like that, nail polish remover to get rid of the adhesive, and then it just kind of slides off that easier. But it's a longer conversation we'll have when we get there. But that's right, surprise, surprise. You thought it was going to be easy. Okay. The next point, ladies, is about unmixing. This is another trick with Borer. And that is, the whole prohibition of Borer, again, is only a mixture of types. If you can unmix it without doing Borer, and now you don't have a mixture, you can do whatever you want to what's left. To illustrate, you've got a dishwasher, whatever you call those guys, full of cutlery. And all mixed up. And you want to put them away in the drawer. So you can't do that. You can't take out all the forks and put them in the fork place and the knives. That's Borer. That's classic Borer. So you ran the dishwasher Friday afternoon. It's clean. It's dry. It's fine. You want to, there's no lights on the dishwasher. Let's get rid of all the other issues. You simply, Friday night, you have a few extra minutes. You want to put away the cutlery. You cannot do that. That's classic Borer. What you can do, if you want to get those into the drawer, is you can unmix them. You can throw the, you can disperse the cutlery on the table, and it unmixes itself to a large extent, and then put it away. I guess it would depend on how big your table is and how much cutlery you've got, but how much of a mess you're willing to make. But that certainly in theory, this is a way to. Well, here you're not, the halacha says this is not, you're not doing an act of borer. You're just randomly, dispersing them. If they get unmixed in the process, which is your hope and expectation, that's fine. You're not doing an act of borer. Then there's a fork over here, you put that fork away, and that fork is, sitting by itself. That's fine. Now, what do you do if some get, some are still mixed? That's a bigger problem.
Your table's all messed up.
So you can certainly clear them all away. You can certainly move them off.
But your drying rack, you have all the forks separated already from all the knives, from all the spoons. They're already pre-sorted.
Right, no problem. You can certainly take that bunch and put them where they belong. But if you have the big forks and the small forks, you can't separate those.
Right.
That's considered two different.
Do that.
Right. Right. But at least if that helps you put them away where they belong, where they are, and you can find what you need, that's perfectly
what
fine.
What do you need them for your Shabbat lunch?
Well, so that kind of gets us to our very next point. Thank you. So the very next point is miyad, which means immediate, or prompt, as he says in the picture book here. That's maybe a better, I don't know which word is, neither word really does justice to what it means. But if one is sorting, and they are following the other two rules, it's biyad, meaning they're using their hand or knife, fork, some of the other things you're allowed to do, and you're taking what you want, as long as those two have to be in place, as well as the final rule, which is it has to be for immediate or prompt use. So what that means is, it's a great example. If you're setting the table for Shabbos lunch, and let's say it's 11 o'clock and you're not going to be eating till 1, but you've got 2 hours of prep. You have a big crowd coming. You have 2 hours of prep to do. You can, the first thing you want to do is make sure the table is set, finished. People walk in, the table is ready. You know, if the salads aren't totally done, you're fine with that, but you want the table to be set. So that's the first thing you want to do at 11 o'clock. That's fine. You can take the forks from the drying rack and put them where they belong on the table. Put the knives where they belong on the table. Because there, you're not certainly using a tool to do this. You're taking what you want. You want the forks to be where they're going to be. And it's for immediate use. And this illustrates what some of the parameters here of immediate use. Immediate use does not mean immediate. In our mind, immediate means immediate. You know, seconds, a minute. Immediate in the eyes of Halacha here at least means say again?
Shabbat.
On Shabbat, certainly, but we mean even closer than that. Meaning to set the table Friday night for Shabbat lunch is out. To set the table that way, I'm talking about that specific way. They're all mixed together. You did borer, so to speak. You sorted, it's not borer. You sorted in order to get the forks and knives where they belong at 9 o'clock in the morning so that you can go to shul. Can't do that either. It has to be the time period in preparation for its use. If that time period is 10 minutes, then it's 10 minutes. If it's 2 hours, it's 2 hours. Now you're studying for Kiddush here and you're starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's fine because it's all part of the lead up to its use. So immediate use really just means the time frame necessary to get the job done. That does not mean you have to spend every single second between now and then getting there, but it does mean that if you're going to sort and select in a permissible way, it needs to be, your plan needs to be that this is the lead up to the use. So again, going to shul is no good, taking a walk is no good. If you end up with 15 minutes at the end, you want to sit and relax, and that's fine. Right? The halacha doesn't say you have to, you know, pretend you're busy until everyone gets there. That's not miyad. But miyad means a reasonable amount of time before its use.
So Friday night, your guests leave, you clear the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to set it for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have clean stuff ready or plasticware or whatever,
mm-hmm.
what can you do right then?
So you can certainly set the table then, but that's assuming you're not sorting and selecting in the process. Meaning you take a stack of plates, you put them where they belong. You take a bunch of forks, you put them where they belong.
Okay.
It's only if you're starting with the mixture. I think this is confusing to a lot of folks. If you're starting with a mixture, you can't do that. Meaning, we have to be clear here. We're talking about everything here is being done on Shabbos for Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue of Hachana, which keeps coming up, of preparing for after, is moot. It's irrelevant. Preparing Friday night for Shabbos afternoon for a Shalosh Shudas at 9 o'clock Shabbos afternoon in August is perfectly fine. There's no reason, nothing wrong with that at all. Except if it involves a mixture of types that you're now sorting and selecting, then the time frame is much, much shorter. It has to be the time frame that you need to get ready for that event, you know, whatever that is. It could be 2 hours, it could be 10 hours, but it has to be the lead up to that use. Okay, so two very different concepts. Hachana specifically for Sunday, for Saturday night, for Tuesday, and Borer is much more constricted than that. Borer means it has to be for Shabbos use, certainly, but more than that, it has to be for, you know, prompt use. Let's think of some other examples. Yes, taking something out of the freezer. You want it to thaw. Challah. Challah's in the freezer. You want it to thaw. So you want it out for an hour, let's say. So taking it out taking the challah out an hour before is not boring. Even though there's a thousand other things in the freezer, you're leaving them behind. You're not using, there's no miyad issues. You're not using anything except your hands. You're taking what you want, and that's considered immediate use because it needs an hour to thaw and to, and no one has to stopwatch it and, you know, figure out on Tuesday how long it takes. Don't do that. It's just whatever the normal thing would be. But on the other hand, to take it out, to take challah out of the freezer, I'm assuming, I mean, if it's all challahs and they're all basically the same, there's no mixture. That's not a mixture of types. You got 10 challahs on the shelf, you just take one out, no problem. So Friday night, that would be actually an important question to ask yourself. If you're taking one challah out of a shelf or section of your freezer that are all similar, there's no mixture of types, you can do that Friday night, no problem. There's no miyad requirement. But on the other hand, if you're taking one challah out of 1,000 other things, you should not do that Friday night. because you don't need all that time for it to thaw. And now you're taking what you do want, but that's not at all considered immediate use. So it has to, you know, this is one of the reasons it's hard. Every circumstance is different depending on, you know, what it is and what the circumstances are.
So if you have 3 challahs in a bag, like a freezer bag, and you take it out Friday morning to thaw, you know, and then Friday night you're sitting at the table, or you're getting ready to sit at the table, but it's after you've lit candles, and you need 2 challahs on the board, but not all 3. Say one's significantly smaller, or one has poppies and the other 2 are plain, something like that. Can you not separate those? You have to, how do you do that?
Yeah, so there you should only, you know, if you're setting the table for the meal Friday night and, you know, all these things are the run-up, the 45-minute, let's say, prep, that would be fine. But if you're taking that out of the bag, putting it on the table, and then, you know, going to read or whatever, you should not do that. Because you're coming up with a case which is illustrating the fact that we do have a mixture of types. You know, raisin and non-raisin are a mixture of types. Those are distinctly different. You know, we discussed like cookie, whatever the example we gave last time. You know, if it's homemade and one's a little bigger than the other, that's not considered different. So if one's challah is bigger and one's challah is smaller, that's not, you know. But if one's a round Rosh Hashanah type challah, one's like a regular, that was a different. You use them differently, you view them differently. So yes, there you would have to wait until the run-up before the meal. Yep. Are we all nervous yet? This one can get you. This is, you know, cooking in some ways is much more complex, but again, it's very limited. There's got to be heat. There's got to be food. You know, fur is just. We can go through 300 or 400 examples in our own lives, and they're all, you know, the rules of fur apply to all of them. It really does. Okay, so let's finish the sheet, and I'll try and throw out some talk about Yom Tov, and try and throw out some examples if you have time.
I have a question.
Shoot.
So when you finish to pray, whatever, or read the Torah, someone always kindly pick up all the books, put it there, and start sorting and put it in the right place. Is it not correct?
That could be an issue, meaning you get into, with books in particular, there's a lot of discussion about what's considered mixed, what's not considered mixed, is it, at what point is something mixed, is a big, big discussion about that. So it depends. If someone comes, you know, someone comes to picks up all the chumashim, for example, the big, you know, blue stone chumashim, they got a stack of them, they put them back, that's definitely not a problem. Or someone comes through and picks up all the sidurim, not a problem. But yes, if you've got 3 or 4 different types of sidurim, you got the brown and the black and the transliterated,
the
whatever.
And the Spanish one.
Right. I mean, you know, our scrolls probably got 20 different sidurim. So, and they're all in a stack. Some would call that, you know, that's already borderline. Some would call that borer, and some postkin would not. That got a little more sticky. That was a really thick book. It's harder to call that. And it's stacked. That's harder to call a burger. Like one of the pictures here is a cute little girl sitting on a bunch of toys and they're just in a pile. That's definitely a mixture of types. That's so if Sfarim were all, you go to yeshivas and this, you know, kind of sometimes Sfarim get all jumbled up, that would be a bigger problem. Whereas if they're all clearly visible and they're not so thin, they're relatively thick, there's a lot of discussion whether that's a mixture, you know, at all. But yeah, in a perfect world, one should avoid that kind of. It just asks the question. So either collect them separately, you know, give me that one, please give me that, or just put them all on the shelf, and then someone can come by, you know, if really interested in keeping it straight, come by Saturday, you know, Sunday morning. No one else has anything to do Sunday morning than sort the dorm. So that's a great example, yeah. That can get sticky. Okay. All right. So one point I want to make sure we make, which is not on the sheet, and I'd like you to add, please, is a filter, like a Brita filter. Do we touch on this yet?
You had said, I thought you had said that as long as it's palatable without it, then and it's just you prefer it or it tastes a little better to you.
Right.
And it's still
exactly. Okay. Good. So we did touch on that. So that type of filter system, exactly. If it's, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, where thank God the water is just fine, you know, without it, certainly healthy, certainly safe, and you use a Brita when you can, that's not a problem. Post can say that's a non-issue. The sorting and selecting is being done by the charcoal, by the whatever, is not significant enough to be called burr. If, on the other hand, you're sorting and selecting water that's just not really, you know, an American goes to Mexico, assuming that's still true, and you filter your water, that's burr, because it was not a usable product before, and now it is. That's considered, that would be considered burr. Can I see a hand?
Yeah.
Down there? Yeah.
How do you stop putting the open on Shabbat, like, for the
camp,
for the bottle,
yeah.
How do you properly, like,
open? Yes. This is one of those big spectrum issues where you got some saying, don't even think about doing it, and others say, what's the problem? You have both extremes of this discussion. So it's hard for me to give you a definitive answer whether it's permissible or not.
Your local run.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I never discussed it with Rabbi Friedman, but I'm pretty sure he told, you know, years ago, the shul's official policy was not to open cans, like Coke cans, that kind of thing. And now it is. I mean, I've certainly seen it happen. So I think I've seen Rabbi Friedman open them. So I suspect he changed his approach on that. And you have posting a clear across the spectrum of what the, you know, just depending on how you conceive it, how you look at it, how you, you know, conceptualize this thing, what your perception of it is.
So
some do and some don't. That's
like
the short answer.
A screw top, a metal screw top. But we were at the Friedman's one time for dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I remember she poked a hole in it.
Right. So, yeah, we'll get into all of this, but there are definitely a lot of folks who will destroy whatever it is in the process. That's the safest, most, you know, strictest way to go, is to destroy the container. One of the main issues here is, are you creating a new vessel? Are you creating a new container? And if you are, and it's somewhat sturdy, like a box as opposed to a bag is a bigger problem, there are definitely folks who will say, like a cereal box, for example, that's not open before Shabbos. There are definitely those who will say to take a knife and just slice, without messing up any of the words, slice the side of the box down, so you're destroying the box. You're not creating a usable box. And others will say, Rabbi Kushkerman, a prominent among them here in Atlanta, will say, what's the problem? Your intention is not to create a vessel. So you're not building building a box or something. It's just cardboard. It's designed to be thrown out. No problem. Just do it. I mean, you really do have a spectrum of opinions.
You can already open the, bottle, new bottle, open.
You open like a Coke, a Coke cap?
Yeah.
Many will say yes, and many say no. I mean, what everyone does say, now that we're on this topic, all the posts, I was just looking this up under a different context a few minutes ago. What everyone says is, if you can't open it before. So Coke's a great example. You know, if you open the when you buy it from Kroger, you open the top and you seal it tightly and you stick it in the fridge. I found it doesn't really substantially lose it, as long as you close it up right away.
So
it does not lose its fizz.
All your open bottles gone and you need new ones. You know?
Right. So many will say, many in our world will say, use it. You know, you can open it. That is to say, if in a perfect world, open as many as you're going to need and leave them there. But if you run out, it's not a problem to open them almost anything before. Rabbi Kushkerman and I had this conversation. I was shocked how lenient he is. Part of that, I think, is based on the fact that the Sephardi post Gador, he should live and be well, is Rav Avad Yosef. The man in his 90s lives in Yerushalayim. And Rav Avad Yosef is certainly not an expert in Rav Avad's positions and everything, but in general, he's quite lenient about a lot of stuff. The Kushkerman follows as a Sephardi posik. Do we always follow Rav Avadia's Ashkenazi? No, we certainly don't. If you're an Ashkenazi, to go on a tangent from a tangent, I was just talking with, I think it was Johnny Bolnick. No, it was Terry Tenenbaum. Terry Tenenbaum told me he was going to a shiur by Rabbi Kushkerman Thursday night in his shul, Ner Mizrach, and they were talking about cutting through letters on a cake. You know, happy birthday. So you look up, for example, in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, which is one of the preeminent halachas Tzvarim on Shabbos on the Ashkenazi world, based on the rulings of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a big postdoc of Yerushalayim, passed away, 15 years ago, and he says, don't do it. He says, you can cut them before and then take pieces out of the cake on Shabbos, but one really should avoid cutting, if it's icing, it's not part of the cake, it's on the cake, one should not destroy the words, it's erasing. And Rav Avadya Yosef says, he brings a couple, three reasons, and he says, no problem. So,
how we do it in shul?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know. many bakeries. Certainly a Shomer Shabbos bakery in New York or Baltimore or somewhere like that, and they have all the lettering. I think what's the name will do it. Removable lettering, exactly. It comes off on the tinfoil or the chocolate or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, Kirby, that's right. Yeah. I think I've seen Ali's cookie too. Right? Mm-hmm. You can definitely eat it. That's not a problem at all. The question is cutting it. Yeah, on Shabbos, you can definitely eat it.
And cutting through the photo, through the picture, is it permissible at all, not just on Shabbos, because you destroy an image?
Not a problem. I mean, during the week, certainly not a problem. Shabbos, you mean like the pictures that Jeff Rosengarten will print?
Yeah.
Crazy what he can do these days. Yeah, so that would all be based on the same argument. Rav Avadya would say, no problem, meaning picture and word.
Why? Because I need to quote it.
Rabbi Yosef. His last name is Yosef. Confusing. Cause,
was I going to quote him?
Two first names, no last names.
But to Rav Avadya Yosef, I can do this.
That's right. Yeah, according to Rav Yosef, you can, at least this I looked up, I know for sure what he says. One can cut through words, one can cut through pictures, no problem. Svardim, if you follow Rav Avadya, no problem. Ashkenazi poskim, generally, many of them say you can't do it. Cut around it, bend over backwards four times, a lot of the poskim say. So it is fascinating to see that. Modern day. A can of milk. Any cans, really.
Yeah, it's like a can, but it's not pop. It's like you open the whole...
Oh, you remove the whole top.
Yeah, the whole top.
So there's many postmen will say, I'm sure Rav Avadya among them, just open it.
Rav Avadya say yes.
Because his there's different rationales, but bottom line is you're not, the intention here is to throw it out. The intention is to throw it out, and therefore the result is nothing. The main issue is you're creating a vessel, and they view it as you're not creating anything. The others would say you are creating a vessel, and therefore you should either destroy it in the process, or you make a hole somewhere else, and that hole is whole, its entire purpose is to be destructive, and then you open the other side, which is kind of messy. You got to be careful how you do that. Or some will say, I think Ramosha writes like this, to open half the can, like a tuna fish can, a salmon can, this kind of can, open half of it, empty it, and then discard it.
Not empty, condensed milk, you keep it there.
Right. So they would say, the our posting would say that's not good, because then you're creating a usable thing. So they would say, have a plastic, have a whatever, to pour your milk in so you can throw out the can. There are definitely posting who would say that. Again, you have the spectrum. I mean, you have... I keep reiterating in different contexts, there are certain modern day issues which are very they're just wrought with machlokas, because we really don't know how Klal Yisrael, it's a relatively modern day application. So you have two, three, sometimes four opinions to what the legal status of this is, and eventually Klal Yisrael will sift it through and will come up with more or less come up with an approach or two. Limited at least to two basic approaches, but there's certain applications we don't have that history yet, so that hasn't happened yet. Okay, so I do want to make sure we touch on this before we stop, and that is Yom Tov. So the whole, we really should go through at some point, maybe at the end, which malachas apply in Yom Tov, which do not. It's a very confusing issue. Some malachas simply do not apply in Yom Tov. Borer largely is one of them. That is to say that on Yom Tov you're allowed to separate and sort, except for the rule of Biyad. The rule of Biyad is still in play, which means you cannot use sifters, you cannot use peelers, you cannot use strainers on Yom Tov. Anything which is designed for sifting and sorting and selecting, and you know, borer instrument one cannot use on Yom Tov. But beyond that, really, borer is permissible. There's just no rule of borer. The reason for that is because Yom Tov, the halacha is excludes certain food preparation steps. And that's why it's so confusing, because this whole thing is food preparation. But you certainly can't do choresh, you can't plant, you can't plow rather, you can't plant, you can't harvest. You know, certainly the beginning of these 11 steps are out on Yom Tov. You can't just start watering your, you know, watering your roses. But certain steps are certainly permissible in Yom Tov. And again, we'll, you know, have to prepare that more fully and get back, you know, give a class at some point. On which apply in Yom Tov and which don't. But, you know, we can, now that we're in Borer, we can certainly say definitively that's the implements are out on Yom Tov, but casual Borer, your clothing or whatever it is, are fine. No problem at all. The trickiest thing, I think, is a 3-day Yom Tov, especially if you went from Yom Tov into Shabbos, to be careful, because in Yom Tov there's certain leniencies, we all know, especially using hot water from a tap or cooking in your kitchen. You know, the list, Borer maybe less. You know, but even Bora, you could be doing Bora for 2-day Yom Tov, Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos hits, and you have to remember the rules just shifted. Exactly, it has changed. From, you know, from Yom Tov to weekday is easy. From Shabbos to Yom Tov is relatively easy, but from Yom Tov to Shabbos is much more difficult. So that's the short answer on that question. Okay, any questions on that so far, ladies? Okay.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.